Brishas, my father. Tonight's shir is once again dedicated to the Refuah Shlema of Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkin. I'd hope to talk about Sipuri Tzadikim tonight, and that includes a lot of things. That includes the importance of talking about the great Tzadikim. It includes listening to the Tzadikim and learning from their stories, messages that we could take from it. But the truth is, if you really want to talk about storytelling, you have to really start with the Torah's approach to storytelling. And then we'll get to perhaps an approach to how we should understand the importance of Sipuri Tzadikim, the importance of hearing these stories and telling these stories and learning from these stories. But let's begin by just looking at the way that the Torah itself views the concept of stories. And the truth is, the word Torah by itself, the word itself, by definition, the word Torah, as the Ramban will define it in source number one, actually means stories. Fascinating Ramban in his introduction, his very first words to his introduction to the Chumash. The Ramban writes in source number one, Bereishis, Moshe Rabbeinu kasav ha-sefer hazem, ha-Torah kula mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah from beginning to end. We shouldn't suspect that any of it was not written by him. Va'akarv shekasav zeh har Sinai, and presumably he wrote it on Har Sinai. Different opinions, did he write it piece by piece? Did he write it all at once? Different opinions how the Torah was written. Kisham nemar lo alei alai ha-hara, come up the mountain, ve'yesham, and be there, position yourself on the mountain, ve'enel lachas ha-luchos ha-even, v'ha-torah v'ha-mitzvah sher kasafti l'horosam. And I'll give you the luchos, and I'll give you the Torah, and I'll give you the mitzvah. What are these different categories? Luchos, Torah, mitzvah, says the Ramban. Take a look, unbelievable. Ki luchos ha-even, what are the luchos ha-even? Yichlo ha-luchos v'ha-michtav, klomar aser sedibros. That's the stone, that's the etching, the writings of the aser sedibros into the stones. So what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is mitzvah ha-mitzvos kulan ha-sev lo sasai, the 613, or whatever done in the top 10. So what does the word Torah mean? If it says luchos and it says mitzvah, so what are you left with by the time you get to the word Torah? Imkein ha-Torah yichlo ha-sipurim mitchilas bereishis, ki umora anashim b'derech v'inyan ha-amunah. The Torah, the word Torah by definition, which part of the Torah is called Torah? It's the stories. It's the stories in the lives of the tzaddikim, the avos and the imos, which serve, as the Ramban says, what? B'derech b'inyin ha-amuna. It sets us on the proper path to establish a strong foundation in amuna. That's the backbone of, so to speak, everything that the Torah is built upon. Two authors once came to the Rizhna Rebbe. The Rizhna Rebbe was known, Rabbi Saul of Rizhin, very great tzaddik, known very much for his love of storytelling. And two people came to him to present their works to get haskamos for their svarim. One guy had written this brilliant halachic work, insights into the Gemara, Chidushei Torah, and the other one was recounting tales, biographical information about great tzaddikim from earlier generations. And they both arrived at the same time, and the Rizhna Rebbe put aside the guy with his Chidushei Torah, his great insights into the Gemara, and he says, first I want to give the haskama to the guy who wrote this storybook. And he explained that I'm really just following the lead of the Torah itself. Because after all, the Torah begins full of stories. It starts off again with the lives of the avos and the shvatim and the imos, right? The struggles and the trials and travails of Klal Yisrael. And only then, later in Sefer Shemos, do we begin to learn the laws of the Torah. So that's the framework by which a Jew approaches the Torah. It all begins with the stories, and then afterwards we become ready to receive the laws. Now the truth is, if you look at probably the greatest night of the calendar year, in some ways, right, is when we gather, God willing, with our families, maybe with some friends, and we sit at the Seder, and we recount the birth of Klal Yisrael. And the whole night is what? Is encapsulated within what? Within Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We talk about the birth of our nation, and everything is described in the context of a Sipur. And of course, when we read in the Haggadah, we read about that famous Maisa, that famous incident that's described in source number 2. And I quote you from the Sefer Yachad Kulam Kedusha, stories from Rav Shlomo Karlbach. I didn't put the page number because it's on the inside flap. I wasn't quite sure how to label that, but that's where it is if you want to see it. Anu Omer ba'agadah shal Pesach, Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, everyone knows the story. They were sitting in Bnei Brak, enjoying this festive gathering. Vayim saprim kol oso halal. And they spent the whole night misaprim. It was all about a sipur. So says Rabbi Shlomo, Atzli v'atzalchem betach gamke. Rabbi Shlomo says, by me, and I'm sure it's true by you, Eich osim Yehudim tovim, Eich mechanchem yoladim. How do we need to educate ourselves? How are we supposed to, and again, it's not just Yoladim, it's not just talking about little kids, it's talking about every Jew. How do you make a good Jew? Kamuvan harbe limur. There's no question, you need to learn a lot. You need to learn the books, you need to learn Halacha, you need to learn Gemara, you need to learn Tanakh. Right? But really, what's the framework? What's the foundation? What's the base upon which the whole thing is built? Aval od lifnei halimud hayim safrim kol oso alayla. Before you get to anything else, right, what Chazal are teaching us, when they recount again the birth of Klal Yisrael, it all starts with Sipur. Hachinuch, Rosh Hashanah concludes, Hachinuch maschilim asipurim, rakim sipurim. That's the foundation that every Jew has to be built on. And as I pointed out many times in the past, Rabbi Nachman used to always say, in the non-Jewish world, people tell their children stories to put them to sleep. In the Jewish world, we tell ourselves stories to wake ourselves up. Right? To give ourselves that added chizuk that we need as we go through life. So that's certainly, we see in the Torah itself, in the Torah Shebichtav, we see the importance of storytelling. What about in Torah Shebaal Peh? You get now into the world of Gemara. You open up the Gemara for the first time. You open up to Brachos, the very beginning of the Masechta. You learn Mishnayos for the first time, Maseches Brachos. What do you find? So if you look in source number 3, someone once came to the famous, there was a Rebbe of Yaakov Lezer Mipishavarsk. Passed away not that long ago. He was known as someone who had great accuracy in telling stories. He had traditions dating back many, many generations. There's Svarim, I have one volume from him. But I saw quoted elsewhere in the Sefer Menuchas HaNefesh the following. Uve'inyan Sipure Maiseo, source number 3. When it comes to storytelling, Shamati B'Shem Maran Admor, Rav Yaakov Mipishavorsk, that's all. Shinishal Yedei Malamed. He was once asked by a school teacher, who apparently enjoyed telling stories. Im Alav Lahosif Sipure Maiseos Bilimudim Talmidav. Is it appropriate to always be telling stories? You know, I'm paid to teach Gemara, but I spend a lot of time, right? Achatai Nimazkir Hayom. Right? I do a lot of storytelling in my Gemara Shir. Right, so is it appropriate? Is it appropriate to spend time if you're being a Rebbe, you're supposed to teach the text? Is there time? Is it, you know, is it story time? It says Rav Yaakov Pishavorsk, Veheshev Lo Shechazal Horu Lanu Aderach. Chazal themselves give us the derech in this. Open up the Mishnayos, learn the first parak of Brachos. What do you find right at the beginning? Baschalas Hashas Meseches Brachos, Shekvar B'Mishnah Rishon, in the very first Mishnah, Maisa Shabbat Banu B'Mesa Mishnah, that's telling a story. And what happens? You go on a little further, Mishnah Gimel, another story. Maisa, Rabbi Tarfon, right? Rabbi Tarfon, his whole debate, how to say Kriya Shema. And you get to Mishnah Hay, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he's telling this whole tale, right? And he commends Shivim Shana, he's telling this whole, you know, wondrous thing, how he grew a beard overnight. So you see the Chazal, right? Even when it comes time to open up that Gemara, once you really delve into the limud, like Rosh Shlomo Karbach said, you see that even Chazal are giving us a gentle reminder that it starts with what? It starts with the Sipurim. And certainly if you go through Chazal, if you learn through the Gemara, right? As much of it is a halachic, you know, body of work. It's a halachic work. There's no question that it's full of the most, you know, astounding stories in the world, most wondrous stories in the world. Stories of great Tanaim and Amoraim, very marvelous Agaritas. And all these things are there not just to give us something interesting, to keep us awake with our chavrusa, right? But it's supposed to deepen us in Avodas Hashem. That we read the stories of Chazal and we respond to it. That it awakens something within us, and we want to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu because of it. You know, Chazal say, the Torah says, L'dav kabo, we're supposed to cling to Hashem, that lashon of clinging to Hashem. So how are you supposed to cling to Hashem? It's not possible to cling to Hashem. This is a question that the Gemara in Masechta Sotah is bothered by. And more famously, a famous statement of the Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha, in source number 4. L'dav kabo, we're told cling to God. That's our job in this world. Be as close to Hashem as you can possibly be. Is it possible to ascend to the heavens and cling to God? To physically attach ourselves to God? You can't touch God, let alone even, you know, stand before Him. You can't see Him and live, the Torah says. And furthermore, you find the Daniel, Karse, Shviv, and Dinor. Right? Hashem sits on a throne of fire. Everything about Hashem's world is fire. And that's just a mushel to, you know, to soften our understanding. So how do you get close to Hashem? Says the Medrash, Elahi Dabik b'chachamim v'tamideim. Cling to those who represent God. Cling to His representatives. Cling to the sages and their wisdom. Umala ani alecha ki ilu alis lamarim, and I'll consider it as if you came up to the heavens. And then the Medrash goes on and says, Darshei Hagados Omrim. Those who study the Agarata said the following. Ritzon chalahakiras misha amr v'hai ha'olam limud hagadah. If a person wants to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, person wants to deepen his relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So where does it start? It starts with the stories, the Haggadah, the Agarata. Shemitochach atamakir esmisha amr v'haya ha'olam umidabik bedrachav. Because by studying the stories of Chazal, a person will come to what? To a deep clinging, a deep relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You know, you could ask, why is it more important than halacha? Why am I going to have a stronger? Why is the Medrash saying you'll connect to God better with the stories more so than learning halacha? So again, it goes back to what the Ramban was saying. There's something fundamental about storytelling. There's something you learn the stories, the struggles of the Avos and the Imos and everything they had been through, right? And it touches you in a very deep way. So the Torah starts that way, the Gemara starts that way. Everything about the framework of Torah is built within the context of stories. Kotzke Rebbe used to say, sitting one time, someone asked him, you know, how did you become the Kotzke Rebbe? I find this story hard to believe, because the Kotzke Rebbe probably would have said to this guy, what do you mean, Rebbe? I'm not a Rebbe, you know? Kotzke Rebbe was very, very much not into himself. very much into being real, and he certainly wasn't interested in the kavod. But it is brought down in Katzk Svarim, Emes Ramuna, and other Svarim. It says that the Katzk Rebbe was asked, how did you become the Katzk Rebbe? He says, everything I attained was because of a malamed that I had when I was a little kid. I had this Rebbe who used to tell me the greatest stories, Sipuri Tzadikim, stories about the great Gedolim, people from previous generations, stories from the Torah, stories from Chazal. And he says, it was those stories that set an image for myself. I was able to create and to mold this image of what I wanted to be one day. And the Katzk Rebbe says, anything that you think I am, anything that maybe I have become, it's all because of those stories that I was told when I was just a child. So obviously, you know, as individuals, as parents, myself as a Rebbe, those who teach, right, but even in Bein Adam La'atzmo, even between one, you know, a person and himself, right, a person has to learn to use this technique, not to shy away from this technique and see it as something that's childish or, you know, it's simplistic. It's something that strikes us very deeply. And certainly one of the greatest educators, who unfortunately the world lost, was none other than the Piazetzner Rebbe, the author of the famous work, Chovas HaTalmidim, A Student's Obligation, right? A veritable handbook of everything a parent needs to know, a student needs to know, a child needs to know, a teacher needs to know, a Jew needs to know. It's all in there. And he writes at the end of his introduction, which he titles A Discussion Between Parents and Students, or Between Parents and Children, Between Rebbeim and Students, he writes at the end of his Akdam in source number 5. He says, Nachon she'eza pamim bashvua, yilameda malamidim talmidav medrash o'en Yaakov. He says to Rebbeim and parents, he says, don't be shy, right? Everyone wants their kid to be a big go and a big genius, right? To be learning very deeply, right? He says, don't be ashamed to sit down once a week at the very least and learn Medrash, to learn Ein Yaakov, right? To learn something that speaks a little bit more to the neshama. And he says, all the more so mashalim. Don't be ashamed to use mashalim. Don't be ashamed to describe things. And again, these fantastic ways, and these unrealistic ways. The Medrash and Shir HaShirim tells us, Rabbanan Amrin, Al yehei ha-mashal hazeh kal be'enecha. Don't allow a mashal, a simple mashal. A little mashal, you'll tell a little kid to try to get him to get something that's really over his head. Don't allow it to be light in your eyes. Because sometimes through that simplistic mashal, a person comes to a deep understanding of Torah. And that's what the Medrash is saying. If you want to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu deeply, if you want to connect to Him in a deep way, sometimes the way to sneak it in, the way to so to speak, trick yourself into opening up that passage in your heart, to allow that message to sink in, is through using a story, through using a mashal. And he says, we can't only try to tap into the intellect of individuals, right? Of our children, of our students. You know, my brother has a great part. I'll pause here for a second with the Piazetzner Rebbe as he writes to take up the Torah. If you look at source number 6, there's a mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And when my brother told me this vart, I have to admit, I was a little annoyed that he beat me to the punch, because it's a great vart and it's right there. We all should have caught it. We know that one of the words that we use for a story is a maisa. So he says, if you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, what does it say in source number 6? You see, you just read where it's bolded. So we Chanina ben Dosa's statement. Kol shemaisav merubin mechachmaso chachmaso miskayamis. The Pashup Shad is a person who has more good deeds than what? Than wisdom, than just, you know, intellect, that he's actually acting on his intellect. So that person's wisdom is going to last. And the reverse is also true. A person whose chachma is more than his actions, so that person's going to what? His wisdom's not going to last. But my brother said so beautifully, Rav David said so beautifully. He said, think about it. Masa means what? A story. A person who has more stories than chachma, that's going to protect his chachma. A person who's not ashamed to use the stories, the mashal, that the piece that the Rebbe is describing here, to take out a medrash, to take out an Ein Yaakov, right? To try to tap into the neshama and then use that as a means to opening up even greater understanding within our seichel, within our mind. A person who does that will be able to attain much deeper levels of understanding. As opposed to the person who's only interested in the seichel. He only wants to work from the top. He's not interested in the lev. That person's going to rob himself, so to speak, of many great opportunities. And the Piazetzner Rebbe concludes, let's just go back to source 5 for 1 second, the last bolded part. He says, when you tell a mashal, it's a great achrayis. You know, the Apta Rebbe, or Avram Yoshua Heschel, the Apta Rebbe, has a whole tefillah that he wrote. He used to love telling stories also. I was going to put it in, but it's very, very long. He has a whole tefillah, the storyteller's tefillah, describing how people think he's a Rebbe, and how he's not really a Rebbe, and people bring him money to daven, and he's not capable. He says, the one thing at Kodesh Baruch Hu that I have maybe is the koach to tell stories. Right? So when a person tells a story, it's a bilach ra'is. There's a tefillah that one should say before you even begin to try to recount the story. So says the Piazetz the Rebbe, you need to be medaktik. Tzrichim ledaktik b'mashal. L'sapar aso nachon ha'aseder ki'ilo ha'maisa kachaya. When you're telling a mashal, a non-true mashal, it's not a story. It's not a story based on a historical fact. You're making up some, you know, fantastic tale to convey a message. You need to try to tell it with such precision as if it's so real. Because sometimes your audience, the one who's listening, is going to be so lost in the mashal that the mashal has a greater possibility of impacting them more so than the nimshal. By the time you get to the nimshal, they're already tuning out. But the mashal is so exciting, it's so real, it's so alive. Right? That's the beauty of the story. So to convey the story in the way that Chazal did, where it's so full of life, right, and it's so real, that's the type of chachma, that's the type of way that maisa will allow for a person to gain tremendous chachma from the mashal or from the story. Rav Soloveitchik has a famous eulogy that he gave for Rav Chaim Heller. And then he describes this Rav Chaim Heller, for those who know anything about Rav Soloveitchik, it's a name that maybe you're familiar with. And he says, you know, what was the greatness of Rav Chaim Heller? Now, we're talking about a real Torah personality, a real Talmud Chacham. He says, but you know what made Rav Chaim Heller so special? The Rav writes, Rav Kefet, brings it in his Sefer, his two-volume Sefer on the Rav, in source number 7. When Rav Chaim Heller told stories about Torah luminaries, both those he knew and those who had lived hundreds of years before him, he didn't just relate them in meager words. These stories became living experiences, filled with warmth and movement. Right? It wasn't this theoretical, you know, tale from the past that we couldn't relate to. He brought it to life. He brought it to life for his audience, for those who were listening. Long-standing but forgotten stories came to life as Rav Chaim laughed and cried with the worthy people he portrayed. The images came back to life and crowded into his modest room as he spoke. Do you know what was the foremost strength of Rav Chaim when he narrated these stories? It was not his rhetorical or oratorical ability. It wasn't that he was a great speaker. What was it that made his story so powerful? He never utilized flowery language to enhance the tale he related. His greatness was in his reliving the story as he spoke. And that's really what all of Torah is supposed to be. Anytime we engage Torah, we read the stories, we're still at the end of Bereishis. It's a very fitting topic for the last week of Bereishis. Before we start to transition, obviously the beginning of Shemos still has much, you know, many stories to tell. But as we transition into the latter part of Shemos, the laws, and Vayikra, the books of laws, right? It's important to understand that it has to be built on a foundation that's so solid, on a Muna that's built on stories. Now often, as I pointed out earlier, often what happens is you hear a story, and we look at it again as sometimes something that's a little bit childish. And even the stories of the Torah, we're so used to hearing them from when we're little, that we don't realize sometimes the depth that lies behind even the most simple story. Let's take Torah Shavach Sav. Go back to Torah Shavach Sav, for example. Right? The most simple story in Torah Shavach Sav has so many layers of depth. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon comments in source number 8, he says, "Woe to the person who looks at a story and says that there's nothing to it other than the story." If you read the story of the Torah, if you read about Yaakov and sheep, and you think that it's only about Yaakov and sheep, then you're really missing something, says the Zohar. And we'll skip source number 8 for a minute. He says it even more explicitly in source number 9. The Zohar in Parshas Baal Oscha, it's very sharp. Listen to these words. It's a little hard. We'll work through it together. V'zakayin inon Yisrael disyayv lehu o'raisa ilah o'raisa d'kshon. How lucky we are, Jewish people. Right? The Zohar often speaks, you know, speaks to the audience. How lucky, Jew, right? The reader of this passage, how lucky you are that you've been given a Torah that's ilah, that's lofty and high. O'raisa d'kshon. A Torah that's emistic, that's real and deep. Uman da amr da hu sipur da o'raisa. Lachza hu sipur bavad. And one who claims that this story is nothing more than the story that you see on the surface, tipach ruche, may his spirit be crushed, right? May his bones be ground. Dihachi lav ihu araisi la uraisi tikshot. Because you've taken a Torah which is lofty, a Torah which is true and deep, and you've dragged it down to this lowly level. Elevade de oraisa kadisha ila I oraisa tikshot. And he gives a beautiful mashal. Right? And this is something I always would have wanted to say on my own, and it's so beautiful to find it in the words of the Zohar. Tachazi melech basar v'dam. Take a king of flesh and blood, says the Zohar. Right? A human king of flesh and blood. Lav yikara dilei hu lishtai mila dehegyota. Kosha kein lemichtavlei. It's not appropriate for him to say what? To say simple words. To say mundane things. All the more so to record it in writing. Right? You know, if the President of the United States got caught a couple times cursing, I don't know if everyone recalls that, right? You know, statements that slip out, it's an embarrassment, it's a shameful thing. So a king, to have what? To have words, unbefitting words, right, come out of his mouth, all the more so to put it into print. How embarrassing, how shameful it is. So it says the Zohar at the end of line 4. V'salik b'daitacha. Do you think the Malki Ilah kuchabrichu lo havi le milin kadishin lemichtav? Hashem has nothing better to write. Hashem has nothing better to write. He was bored. He couldn't fill up his book, so he had to fill in some chapters about Yaakov and some sheep and some ridiculous, you know, all these crazy things that Yaakov's doing to make sure the sheep are striped and the sheep are speckled. And there's nothing better for God to talk about. In all of his wisdom and Shemayim, there was nothing else he could tell us but that. There was nothing he could fashion his Torah out of except for these silly tales. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered in all of the simple words. Milin de Esav, Milin de Hagar, Milin de Lavan Biyakov, Milin de Ason, the donkey of Bilam, Milin de Bilam, right? Bilam the donkey himself, Milin de Balak, Milin de Zimri. He took all of the low life, so to speak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed them and turned those words into Torah itself. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us that when we read the stories of the Torah, to see them, to try a little bit, to penetrate deeply into them, and understand them in all its depth. And that's Torah Shabbat Sa'ad, and the same thing is true for Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? The Menorah Sama'or, it's a famous ethical work, written by Rav Yitzchak Abuav, a famous Sephardi Chacham. So he writes in source number 10, he says, Rav Ashi, when he was compiling the Gemara, why did he put in all these stories? What do you need it for? Right? Just give me the bottom line. You know, that's sometimes how we feel when you're learning Gemara. Right? Just give me the bottom line. Right? Why do I need this? Let me just go look it up in the Shulchan Aruch. I have to learn the whole process of how I got there and with these silly stories mixed in. What do I need any of it for? So he says, Rav Ashi put it there for a very good reason. We'll just read where it's bolded in source number 10. Ki kamosha yitzarach lechaber hashmaitos. Just like he needed the halachic content. Levar hamitzos v'adinin. He needed to put in what? The drashos and the stories and everything else that happened in earlier times. Lil mod mehem halachos u'musarim. To learn the halachos of what? Of musar. Of bein adam lachaveiro. Of character refinement. And all of these things are no less significant. While it might seem at times like silly, childish, abstract, crazy tales that the Gemara is telling, right? Or conversations between Amoram and their wives. Right, what do you need it for? Every single word of it is filled with tremendous depth, and it's there for us to learn from. Just to give an example. So, if you've seen, maybe some of you have seen, right, in the Perek HaMocher Es HaSvina, in Bava Basra. So the Perek begins with these remarkable tales of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Things that he learned from fishermen, sailors, all sorts of crazy adventures at sea. Large fish, you know, waves that have fire at their tip, at their peak. All sorts of crazy things. And the Marsha commenting on the very first one of those Gemaras in Bava Basra, in source number 11. The Marsha says, yes, there's a Pasha Pshat, which itself is pretty astounding. You read these stories, you can't even imagine there's a Pshat. Right? Could there be any Pshat to this? Could there be any simple interpretation? So the Marsha writes, he comments in the back of the Gemara in Bava Basra, Ayin Gimel, while you can't contradict the simplicity of the words. He says there is a Pasha Pshat. There's messages for sailors. How should you sail? How should you this? How should you fish? You know? The simple explanation of the stories is to be found. But there's something deeper lying within. And it's incumbent upon us to try to penetrate into the depths of these stories. Why did Chazal bother to put this in here? Right? Did Chazal really assume that the one who's going to be reading this entire parak of Bava Basra, so many pages, right, of Bava Basra, are going to be fishermen? This is going to be the fishermen's mesechta they take with them out to sea? You know, it's a long mesechta. You figure you get stuck at sea, you have what to read? I mean, what was the idea? The idea was that there's something deep here, right? Not just the simple message that lies on the surface. And if you look at the beginning of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's Likutei Moran, where he expounds on each of these crazy tales, these wild adventures of Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says that he got a haskama from Rabbi Bar Chana himself. And when you read Rabbi Nachman's interpretations, again, it goes way beyond the pshat. It goes very deeply beyond the pshat. And they have it available in English for those who are scared to try such things. It's not as scary as it sounds. But if you look in the Chaim Oran, the life of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, it says, HaToros Shenemru, source number 12, the Toros, right, the teachings that Rabbi Nachman wrote on the Ma'amari Rav Bar Chana, Amar Rabbeinu Zechon Levracha, Rabbi Nachman used to say, She'amram B'Shem Omram. He said the true interpretation. He was mechaving to what Rabbi Bar Chana himself was thinking when he wrote these tales. Hainu Rabbi Bar Chana ba'atzmo. Ki ve'esh yiskel legalos toros al ma'amari Rabbi Bar Chana. When Rabbi Nachman started to put a little effort into revealing some of the deep secrets of these tales from the Gemara Bava Basra, as Siper, so Rabbi Nachman used to recount, she Rabbi Bar Chana ba'ilav. Rabbi Bar Chana himself came to Rabbi Nachman. V'shicher panav ve'amar, madua einu mesim leiv la'ma'amarim shalom. Why aren't you paying more attention to my tales? Why are you reading them in a superficial way? There's so much depth to be uncovered here. Ubikesh Asoazeh, and Rabbi Bar Chana, again, whatever this means, right? The spirit of Rabbi Bar Chana came to Rabbi Nachman and said, you need to work harder in being megal of the secrets of my stories. Shiasim libo aleh, and place your heart onto it. And Rabbi Bar Chana says, I'll guide you to reveal what? To reveal very true secrets, deep wonders, and miraculous things. And Rabbi Nachman made the efforts. Rabbi Bar Chana certainly helped to deliver his end of the bargain. So we've talked about Chumash, we've talked about Chazal. Now let's get into the real topic that we were supposed to discuss tonight, which is Sipurei Tzaddikim. And if the Sefer told us that, you know, learning the Agadah, learning the stories of Chazal will inspire us to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same thing is no less true when it comes to later Tzaddikim. Right? And albeit, certainly, the Torah, right, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, is written with a much greater extent of Ruach HaKodesh. But the stories that are told, and I'm talking about the stories again, the stories told by Tzaddikim and stories told about Tzaddikim, are equally deep and equally true. Now, Rav Zev of Zhytomyr says that one time he was traveling. Excuse me. He had been by the Maggid of Mezrich, and as his chevra of Chassidim were leaving, the Maggid of Mezrich told him a story of 24 words. That was the whole story. Very simple story. 24 words. And as they got back in the wagon to start heading back, they were so caught up in the story, they couldn't even bother to sit in the wagon. They told the wagon driver, we're going to get out, we'll walk alongside the wagon, travel slowly, and you know, this is pressing, we need to discuss this. A story of 24 words. And the way it's brought down, they walked for the remainder of that day, the following night, nonstop, without even realizing they had so much lost track of time. The day passed, the night passed, it was the next morning. And the wagon driver said to them finally, he said, Chevra, you missed Mincha yesterday. You missed Marv. You're going to miss Shacharis again? Right? And they said, what are you talking? He said it took them three times before they even snapped out of it. Right? 24 words. They were so lost in trying to... Now, what were they trying to figure out? What was there to... 24 words? How much could there be to think about? But they understood if the Maggid of Mezrich tells a story of 24 words, there's a reason for it. And the way the later Sfarim explained this story is that the story Dafka highlights, yes, it was only 24 words. You need to know that. Because in those 24 words, it was enough to think about for days and days and days. And every single word was significant. So when we talk about Sipurei Tzaddikim, right, we have to take them as serious, and no less serious than what? Than the words of the Torah itself. Sometimes people think it's a waste of time, right? It's Bittul Zman, sit around telling stories, right? So I'll just share with you a couple quick sources to highlight this idea that is no less significant than learning Torah. Now again, I'm not saying spend your whole life reading storybooks, right? A person has to engage the Torah itself in its more classic form. But just look at some of the words of some of the great tzaddikim in describing what happens when we spend time recounting the tales of tzaddikim. The Teferet Shlomo of Radam, in source number 13, Parshas Chayesara, he says, V'yadua godol malas ha-tzaddikim ha-avos ha-kadoshim. He says, we know the greatness of the tzaddikim and their tales. V'kadoma ki ha-masafir b'shivcham zeu ratzono yisbarach shemo. When you take the time to talk about tzaddikim, you're doing ratzon Hashem. V'hu kamo divrei Torah. It's like studying Torah itself. K'shara'inu kol sefer bereishis. After all, isn't all of sefer bereishis stories? Raksi puri ha-maisios v'atalos asher matzah savasino ha-kadoshim. The adventures, the tales of our avos and imos. V'hu b'toh ha-mishachum she'torah yachshev. And that's part of Torah. So why should it be any less significant that a tale of the Baal Shem Tov shouldn't also be considered Torah? I know it's a little bit of a jump, I understand that. Right? But why should it be any less significant? And he explains beautifully, he says, that's what we say when we say in Tehillim, Parakuf Yud Gimel, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Hallelu Hashem Hashem. The Pasha Pshat is what? The Avadim of Hashem, right? Us. Those who strive to serve Hashem should praise Hashem and should praise His name. But says the Teferet Shlomo, beautiful Hasidic greed. Look what he says. Perish, mashma halalim avdei Hashem. When we praise the avdei Hashem, not when the avdei Hashem praise Hashem, but when we Jews praise the servants of Hashem, when we speak about the greatness of earlier generations, hey matzadikim, zehu kamosh mahalal shem Hashem, ki zeh ritzono. It's just as precious in Hashem's eyes as when we spend time praising Hashem directly. It's no less significant. They say one time, the Kedusha Sion of Babov, right? The Rabban Sion of Babov, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Hashem Yimkom Damo. So he said one time, he was sitting by his holy table, and he had some guests, and it was Parshas Chayesara, and Rabbi Fall, who was the Meshamesh of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, was sitting with him. And he was hitting him up for all these stories. He says, tell me about the Rebbe, tell me about the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. He was asking him question after question. You know, tell me. There was another rabbi who was sitting at this gathering, and he whispered to his neighbor. He says, "No, I wish the Baba Rebbe would tell some Torah. See, how can this, you know, mashamish or fall for stories all night?" So the Baba Rebbe overheard something. He says, "What did you just say?" So the rabbi was not ready to mess with the Baba Rebbe. He says, "Nothing, nothing. Rabbi, you don't need to hear." He says, "Tell me, what did you got very upset?" He says, "What did you say?" He said, "I said I'd rather hear Torah from the Rebbe than hear, you know, than hear these stories from Rebbe Fall." So the Rebbe says to him, "Parshas Chayesar?" He says, "Did you read the Parsha this week?" So he says, "I think so." He said, "You missed the Mefurash Rashi." He says, "Which Rashi?" So he showed him the Rashi in source number 14. What was the Rashi? Right, we'll just read where it's bolded. Right, by Eliezer. What does it say? Omer Rabbi Acha, Yafa Sichoshon Shal Avde Avos, Lifnei Amakum Mitarasan Shal Banim. Better the what? The sicha b'teila, so to speak, the simple tales and accounts of what of the avde avos. He says this Rebbe Fall was one of the avde avos. He served one of the avos hakadoshim, the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, the holy Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. You'd rather hear stories from him than what mitaraz and chabanim. Who am I compared to the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz? So when this rabbi heard this, he said, "Oh," he said, "Baruch Hashem, this is great." He says, "Now it's zochet to hear sichos and to hear some Torah." So it's zochet to hear both. Right? But it's not Bittul Zman to spend time telling the stories of great Gedolim. You have a remarkable statement in source 15, right? Just to show you how extreme this gets. And again, maybe this is too out there for some of us, but I'm a Kabbalist, and you can join me if you'd like. In the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, right, one of the early works written not long after the Baal Shem Tov's passing, the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, it says, we'll just read the last line, the Baal Shem Tov used to say, "Kol mishi yisaper b'shivchei atzadikim ki ilu osek b'maisa merkava." It's like studying the deepest Kabbalistic areas of Torah. The things that I would never understand, trying to grasp, right, the Maisa Merkava, says the Baal Shem Tov, sometimes you could tap into that, right? You can get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can fulfill, like the Tiferet Shlomo said, the Ratzon Hashem, by what? By talking about the Avos, by talking about the Tzaddikim, to study their ways and to try to learn from them. And that will be Ki'ilu. A person was Osek in Maisa Merkava. And again, these reports don't just come from the Hasidic world. I don't want to present, even though, you know, our shir is officially called Parsha and Chasidus. Right? This is something you find from the Litvish world as well. The story is told, Rabbi Shulam David Soloveitchik spent a Rosh Hashanah by Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Right? The great Rosh Yeshiva, certainly not a Chasidic personality, but a great lover of stories. It was Rosh Hashanah 1938. Spent Rosh Hashanah with Rabbi Baruch Ber. And that night, Rabbi Baruch Ber was sitting around for hours recounting stories of Gedolim, of Gedol Yisrael from earlier generations. Until the Rebbetzin finally came in and said, "No, Rosh Hashanah? You're sitting around telling stories, you're spending, whittle away the whole night of Rosh Hashanah telling stories?" And Rav Shulam David Soloveitchik, who was there as a young man at the time, in defense of Rav Baruch Ber, he said, "These stories are not, what better thing to do on the night of Rosh Hashanah? What better way to awaken ourselves to tshuva, to awaken ourselves to Yirat Shamayim, than to hear the Madrigos of the earlier generation?" You find from the Chassam Sofer, that one time the Chassam Sofer, it's in Surah 16, I'll just share with you outside to save ourselves a few minutes. The Chassam Sofer one time was sitting with his chevra, and he was recounting tales of tzaddikim. And someone came in and said, "No, it's time for mincha." It was Shabbos afternoon. So Chassam Sofer got up and he said, "Okay, we're going to go daven mincha quickly. We're going to rush to daven mincha. We'll grab a quick shalash shudas, and then back to the Sipurei Tzaddikim." So says Rav Nassim Geshen there, a Talmud Chacham recently passed away in Eretz Yisrael. He says, at the end of Source 16, you see from here, Roim Mizeshel Saper Sipurei Tzaddikim Davar Gadol V'Niskavu. The Chassam Sofer says, let's rush through Mincha. Let's rush through Shalash Shudas, Rava D'Ravin, arguably the highest time of Shabbos Kodesh, to get back to just telling tales of Tzaddikim. Because again, it's no less significant than the Torah we study. And if you need a conclusive proof to everything I've said for the last 10 minutes, how do you know if you're spending your time well? How do you know if Hashem likes what you're doing? A good way to evaluate by is to see how does the Kodesh Baruch Hu spend his time. And Baruch Hashem, Chazal revealed to us in several places, in Shas and Midrashim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends his time. And we have a statement in Source 17 in the Medrash Rab in Parshas Bamidbar, "Shehakadosh Baruch Hu misasik b'shivchan shel tzaddikim lefarsim b'olam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself takes the time to spread the word, to spread the good name of tzaddikim throughout the world. Now sometimes we struggle with stories because we don't believe the stories. Right? It's hard enough to believe that telling accurate stories is like Maisa Merkava. Right? What happens when you hear a story about a tzaddik and you say, you know, could this really be true? It seems a little far-fetched. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to stress it's very important to tell stories accurately. And I mentioned earlier that Apta Rebbe had a tale, a tefillah, that he would say before telling stories. I don't know if he said it every time, but it was a tefillah of the storyteller. Right? Because there's an achrayus a person takes upon himself when just like you're dabbling in Maaser Merkava, if you're telling a story of a tzaddik. So you're dabbling in very lofty things. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to always praise the Brisker dynasty. And it's true, you could see it in the Ravs, you know, how Rav Soloveitchik used to recount stories and others. There was such an accuracy in telling the tales. that the people involved were always very specifically noted. The date of the event and the place was always noted. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky himself, it's brought down in his article biography, page 29, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that what? It's brought down that he was always very makvid about this. He would always tell stories very precisely. And it says that you would never hear Rav Yaakov tell a story, oh, there was a story about some gadol, I can't remember, was it Rav Chaim Ozer, was it the Chavetz Chaim? He would never tell a story like that. Because he understood that telling the story is an achrayus on the storyteller. So that's one of the reasons, unfortunately, we sometimes get scared off by the stories. But it's important as listeners to keep the following in mind, and it also comes from the words of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Hebrew Feldheim book, Mechitzas Rabbeinu, source 18. It says that one time, I'll share with you outside because I really want to try to make it to the end of the shir, see if we do. It says that one time the Chafetz Chaim was called to court to testify about a particular issue that involved the yeshiva bacha. So the Chafetz Chaim came to the court, and the defendant, the lawyer who was defending this yeshiva bacha, whatever the case was, in trying to present to the judge what an honest character the Chafetz Chaim was, he says the Chafetz Chaim is such a righteous individual that when he sends something to someone else, a letter, and he delivers it with a shliach, he feels bad that he's robbing the post office, right, of the money they would have earned had he sent it, normal postage, normal mail. So the Chafetz Chaim rips up stamps when he does that, so as not to cheat from the post office. He's so makbid on avak gezel that the slightest bit of theft should be removed from his hand. So the prosecutor gets up, right, who's on the other side, and he says, "Your Honor, this is absurd. You're going to believe a story like this?" To which the defendant responded, he says, "I only have one thing to say." He says, "Whether or not this story," he says, "I myself believe that this story is a little far-fetched." He says, "But I'll tell you this much, they don't say stories like that about you and me." Right? They don't tell stories like that about you and me. When you hear a story of a tzaddik, you hear a story about the Kutzker Rebbe, some wild tale, or an adventure of the Baal Shem Tov. In Kesar Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov, it tells a story, he's traveling with a guy, and they had a candle, and the candle went out, and they didn't know what to do, and the Baal Shem Tov says, "Go over to that little shack over there and break off an icicle." And he brings back an icicle, and he says, "Light the icicle on fire." So he says, "Light the icicle on fire?" He says, "The same God who says that a candle could burn can say an icicle can burn. Light the icicle on fire." So the guy took out his matchbook, right, whatever he had, and he lit the icicle, and the icicle lit. So you read a story like that, and you start to say, could that really be? Now you have a Gemara in Tanis, that's the exact same thing, right, with the oil and the vinegar and the Shabbos lights. But you hear a story like that, and you wonder, could such a thing really be? So it's important to remember this klal from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that even though you may, even if the story seems a little far-fetched, the bottom line is they don't tell stories like that about you and me. And if you look in source 19, the Esther Tzachzachos, an idea from the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, it's brought down, at least in the biographical section on the Divrei Chaim, it's brought down. Shapam Echad Shal Aviv HaRabbi Rav Yitzchak Asher Zal Rabbeinu Mitzanz. Rav Yitzchak Asher asked the Tzanz Rabbi, "Im emes heima asipur manit fasim b'sipuri atzadikim." You open up a sipur tzadikim, you read some stories, the first page is exciting, by the third page you already say, okay, that's enough. It's too much. It can't be. There's no way this is all true. So should we believe, the Tzanz Rebbe was asked, should you believe the stories that are printed? The Heshev Lo, and he responded, "Im Heim Olo, are they true or are they not? Lo Yodea, I'm not sure. But the one thing I do know, Achzos Yodea, Ki Koach Yesh Lehem Lasos Kol Masher Otzen. I know that these Tzaddikim certainly could have done these things." And as the Divrei Chaim once said in another context, he says, anyone who believes all the stories of the Tzaddikim is a fool. If you take them all, if you think they're all true, so you're a fool. He says, but if you deny them all, you're a Rasha. So better we should err on the side of being called fools. Better we should buy into too many stories and have too much faith in our tzaddikim than chas v'shalom to err on the side of being a rasha. What is a person supposed to do when you listen to a story? Right? We like the story. The story itself is very exciting. But the goal, right, if we're going to take something practical away for the last 5 minutes of the shir, the goal is that when you hear a story, you listen deeply. And you try to take something from it. You try to learn from the story. Not just that you get a quick smile on your face when you hear an exciting story about a tzaddik, but you take that avoda and apply it to your very own life. In source number 20, the Admor Mispinka from Bnei Brak, he writes in his Sichos Kodesh, he says, what are you supposed to do when you hear a story? He quotes from Rav Elimelech of the Gents, the end of the first line. When you hear true tales of tzaddikim, if your heart feels on fire, if you're warmed by that story, if the story speaks to you, that you also want to serve Hashem in that same way as you're hearing about the tzaddik in that story, that's a sign that you have tapped in to that action of that particular tzaddik, and Hashem will give you the strength to act like that tzaddik. It's a sign from God. The purpose of a story is to what? To ignite your heart to want to walk in the ways of that individual. Rav Pesach Diskin, there was a grandson. It was a grandson of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So he was learning in Philly Yeshiva, and Rav Elias Feizatzal sent him one summer to go learn with your grandfather, Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov's getting older. Who knows how many more opportunities you're going to have. So he spent the summer learning with his grandfather, Rav Yaakov. This is brought down in the controversial Sefer Making of a Gadol in the introduction. So he says he came to Rav Yaakov, and Rav Elias said, make sure you try to get stories out of your grandfather. I learned with him, definitely learned, but Rav Yaakov had a tremendous call to tell stories very accurately. Get the stories from your grandfather. So one time he got this great story out of him, and he couldn't resist. A big smile came on his face, and his grandson said to him, he said, you know, Zaidi, I have to admit, Rav Elias Fei told me I should try to get stories out of you. And I just want, you know, that was a great story. So Rav Yaakov says, ah, he says, that's not what a story is supposed to be. He says, a story is like salt and pepper. If you don't take it to learn something from it, if it's just about collecting another vart, another story, he says, then that's not really what a story is. The salt and pepper, you can't eat it by itself. It comes to enhance the food. So he says, if you're makabel my learning and you also want the stories, that's good. But if you're here just for the stories, then I'm not interested in learning in that way. Right? The goal is that when you hear a story, you turn it into something lemaisa. To take a maisa and turn it into something that is lemaisa. And that's why it's recorded in the Esther Tzachzachos from Rav Uri of Strelitz, that one time someone came to him and asked, can you tell us a maisa? Tell me a maisa. He says, we only have one maisa. It's also brought down in Sfarim from the Chork of Rebbe's. He says, we only have one maisa by us. What's the one maisa by us? Like the Medrash says, a person needs to ask himself, Chayav Adam Lomar Masaya Giyu Maasai LaMaasai Avosai. When will my Maasim equal the Maasim of the earlier generations? That's the only Maasai you need to know. So the goal is, yes, we encourage the teaching and the learning and the understanding of Sipur Tzadikim, but the goal is that I do something with it. That it doesn't stop with just a cute story and I leave it to just pass over my head, but I take that Maasai and I turn it into something LaMaasai. Alright, just to conclude, with a pasuk in this week's parsha in source 23, Yaakov is giving a bracha to his children at the end of days, or at the very end of Sefer Bereishis, the end of the book of stories, as we started with. And Yaakov gathers his children together, source 23, Vayikra Yaakov Abanav, Vayomar Heyasfu Vagida Lachem, Esasher Yikra Eschem Vachas Yamin. Let's get together, let's talk about what's going to be at the end of days. Everyone knows the Gemara in Pesachim, Yaakov wanted to reveal Mashiach to his children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blocked it out from him. And there's many questions you could ask on that story, and the Sefer Dorish Tov from Rav Nachum Mordechai of Chortkov asked some of those questions, but in asking some of his questions on the Gemara Pesachim, which we'll leave for another time, he tells a story along the way. He says, the Rizhna Rebbe was once approached by someone, and this person asked, no, Rebbe, tell me something, give me a Dvar Tov, give me some word that'll carry me for the rest of my life. So the Rizhna Rebbe said, I'll tell you Pshat in this Pasuk, in this week's Parsha. He says, what does it mean, gather together, and I'll tell you what'll be at the end of days? The Rizhna Rebbe says in the final source 24, just take a look in the fourth line. Hinei kodem bias ha-mashiach, tamod hadasa, sorry, third line. Tamod dasa yehudis achut asara. There's going to come a time right before Mashiach comes that Judaism is going to be hanging by a thread. Va'etzel is gabriel zeh, and how are we supposed to fight back? V'is'aseh b'chol Shabbos kodesh l'daber migdoli Yisrael tzadikim. To get together and tell stories of the tzadikim. U'tehei b'zos to'eles l'chizuk hadasa emunah. And like the Ramban said so many years before, in his introduction to Bereishis, his introduction to the Torah, we'll get together, we'll tell stories of tzadikim, and it'll strengthen our emunah. And that's what the pasuk means. Yaakov says to his children, hey asfu, gather together, va'agida lachem, tell stories. Et asher yikra eschem ba'achras yamim. What does it mean? Yikra milashon karvet zonin. There's going to come a time in Jewish history when it's going to be so cold. The spiritual climate's going to become so cold. How are we going to stay warm? How are we going to keep our emunah at the end of days? He says the way to do that is, hey asfu va'agida. Get together and tell the stories of the tzadikim. And he told them at the end, he said, I promise you three things. He says, I promise you that my story is, that this is going to come true. That unfortunately we'll face such a time when the world will become so cold spiritually that we'll need the tales of tzaddikim to warm our hearts. I promise you that you'll remember this, and I promise that one day you'll go on to share this story with us. And that's how he concluded his advice to this individual. When Rav Shlomo Shadron was 13 years old, he and his friends used to get together. Rav Shlomo Shadron became the great Maggid of Yerushalayim. He passed away about 10 years ago. Rav Shlomo Shadron used to get together with his friends Shabbos afternoon, and they take turn pretending giving drushas. And the first week, Rav Shlomo Shadron got up, and he got up as a 13-year-old little boy, and he says, I'm going to give a drusha right now that I hope one day to give in front of a real crowd, with a real drusha in front of hundreds of people. And of course, he went on to do that. What was the drusha? He said there was a father who had two children, his older son and his younger son. They were both very sick, and he needed to get them to take this very bitter medicine. And the older one, he explained to him the significance, the importance of taking this medicine. God forbid, if you don't take it, you could be sick, you could be not well, you're going to end up in the hospital. And he was able to get him to take the medicine. But the younger son refused to take the medicine under any circumstances. So he started to tell him stories, funny stories, and the kids started to laugh. And he told him a funnier story, and the kids started to laugh even more. And the kid's mouth opened up, and he poured the medicine in. And Rav Shlomo Shojan said, that's what's going to be at the end of days. You're going to need the stories. In the earlier days, we could sit with the Gemara, and that was enough to keep us, to keep our hearts on fire. But at the end of days, you're going to need the stories to open up our hearts just a little bit, to try to somehow keep that emunah alive. So I'll conclude with one final story from the Rishna. The Rishna used to tell how in difficult times the Baal Shem Tov would go into the forest, and he would light a candle, and he would go to a specific spot in the forest whenever there was a gezeirah against the Jewish people. He'd light his candle, and he would say a specific tefillah with deep kavanos, and he'd be mevatel the gezeirah. A generation later, the Magid of Medrash says, listen, I'm not the Baal Shem Tov. I'll go into the forest. I know the spot. I light the candle. I say the tefillahs, but without all the deep kavanos. A generation after that, Rav Moshe Leib Sasever says, listen, I can't even daven. I go to the spot and I light the candle. The Rishna Rebbe used to say, he says, Ribono Shel Olam, whenever there was a terrible gezeirah in the Jewish community, he used to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't know the spot. I could light the candle, but I don't know the spot. So what good is it to light the candle? I don't know the tefillos. I don't know the kavanos. He says, all I have left is the ability to tell the story about those tzaddikim from earlier generations who knew the spot and knew the tefillos and knew the kavanos. So Mir Tashem, we should all appreciate the final parsha of Bereishis as we close the book of stories. We shall be zocha to appreciate the stories of Chazal, of the Torah. And Mir Tashem will be able, like the original Rebbe said, to keep our hearts warm in the Achris Hayam. Shkayachim Gitchavs.